What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 512, here on Wednesday, April 24th. Let's get started. We'll start off with the Trump trial that is ongoing up in New York City. The 12-person jury selected, sworn in, and opening arguments have been occurring this week with some testimony from witnesses, I think the past day and a half or so. Here's the thing. Based on the preliminary information here about the jury, all but one of them are slam dunk Trump-hating Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even the one who ostensibly could be a, air quote, Republican, there's no assurances about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this rigged narrative is going to resonate quickly here. And interestingly enough, I just before we came on to record the show here, a new poll out, 70% of Americans believe that this trial is bogus.
Yeah.
So, very clearly, there is some significant doubt amongst the American people. But, you know, by this jury pool, Trump looks to be screwed. And I think everybody that's reasonable thinks that it's been preordained that a guilty verdict will be handed down here. Even though there's questions about, one, where's the crime here?
Yeah.
Two, let's not forget what Hillary Clinton did with the Steele dossier.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
That was an election crime.
Yep.
Never prosecuted, of course.
Because Organizing for Action had a campaign finance violation.
Yeah.
Massive.
Well, also, this wasn't even really a campaign finance violation because it was paid as a legal bill out of Trump's money.
Yeah.
Like, what, you can't pay people hush money anymore? That's ridiculous. It's especially in New York, Wall Street and a ton of other businesses do it all the time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty ridiculous. An interesting event occurred on Friday where a man lit himself on fire outside of the Trump trial. he was a mentally disturbed
man. Insane.
Also a Marxist. So, you know, not going to shed any tears over here over that one. But, you know, obviously we're going to have full coverage of the trial at townhall.com. We'll keep you updated. This probably is going to drag on a couple weeks at least.
Yep.
But, you know, even the first witness who was supposed to be for the prosecution, the National Enquirer former publisher, the guy was like, I mean, we used to make up fake stories all the time and just publish them. Like, it's crazy to me that this is even a thing. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we're going to see a guilty verdict. Now, the question is, what's the penalty going to be? It could just be a fine. They could try to sentence to jail time. I mean, you know, there's a lot of other issues with that and security and stuff like that. But, of course, you know, we'll keep an eye on the trial for you. The other big story we got going right now, there seems to be a violent leftist uprising occurring at universities and colleges all over the country, starting particularly in New York City, of course, at Columbia University. But, you know, here's the other thing. This is being made out as a strictly, you know, college kids are protesting, blah, blah, blah. It's not, that's not just it.
Yeah.
The rot of anti-Semitism throughout the left is being put out for the world to see here. Look at Congress, okay? They had a resolution that was passed, which, you know, is a meaningless symbolic vote. It's just a way of backing up our ally Israel, condemning Iran's unprecedented drone and missile attack. Well, 414 congressmen and women voted in favor.
The terrorists.
14 voted against. Who do you think they are?
Oh, the Squad.
Yep.
Pramila Jayapal.
Yep.
Cori Bush.
Yep. Bowman Bush, Greg Caesar, Jayapal, Hank Johnson, Mr. Guam's gonna tip over. Barbara Lee, what a shock there. AOC, Ilhan Omar, lover of 9/11, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib. I mean, you know, the terrorist squad for sure. And you know, you keep piling this on here. You also have these Congress people who are really just terrorists, like Ilhan Omar, going out to these college protests and speaking in favor and basically just saying, oh yeah, all the Jews are evil.
Yeah.
Israel's awful. Yeah. You know, Palestine, these the real people being oppressed here.
No, but remember, it's the Zionists. It's the Zionists. That's all. Which is a distinction without a difference.
Yeah. And so you have Columbia, total mess up there.
Yeah, terror camp. They got terror camp on campus.
Well, let's not forget. And I just recently saw this clip. Well, let's play this clip for you. Yeah. This is Columbia's president, who is a Muslim, talking about 9/11.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
Hmm. There you go.
It's another form of protest.
It really gave the context to this terror camp that she's running up there.
Yeah. And why, like, no one is doing anything about it, whereas, like, NYU has busted up their camp.
Well, you know, it's a good segue. It's not just Columbia. The whole Ivy League seems to have rechanneled their anti-Semitic roots here. NYU, like you mentioned, was a mess until they called in the NYPD riot squad to break it up. And that happened, I think, 2 nights ago, maybe?
Yeah, it was awesome. They're like, get up. You're going to jail. Time to leave.
Yale is a mess. Harvard had busted it up. And then just an hour ago, they retook Harvard Yard, the terrorists, and replanted their terrorist camp. We've seen pictures from universities in California, especially, where this is happening. I think there was a smaller college where the riot police were clashing with a crowd of essentially terrorist sympathizers, terrorist lovers. And just a little bit ago at USC, the police and these terrorists clashed hard.
Oh, the batons were retracted.
Oh,
you saw that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then all these white libs are like yelling at the black cops.
Uh-huh. You know, I tweeted the smell of terrorist cracked skulls in the afternoon. but I mean, that's really, you know, I said earlier to somebody, I was like, why don't I just drone strike him at this point?
Yeah,
that's what Obama would have done. Yeah. It's really
it's the left. It's the Charlottesville moment. The left gets their own Charlottesville.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute because Biden plays into that significantly.
Yeah.
Down in Texas at, I think it was UT Austin, there was an incident this afternoon. Oh, guess what?
That got snuffed out.
Quickly, because Governor Greg Abbott said, National Guard, go take care of it. Taken care of immediately.
Shot a couple kids.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. But
they did not.
Maybe they should have.
A couple less terrorists in the world.
Yeah.
But good segue to Joe Biden, because Biden here is playing both sides. And the other day, he had what essentially was his, air quote, Charlottesville moment. Now, of course, let's little history here. They said Trump said there's very fine people on both sides, which is not really what he said. You know, if you look at the actual full quote, they love to take a little clip of him, doctor it up, and cut it out for their propaganda. But Joe Biden did what they accused Trump of doing the other day.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, you know, these anti-Semitic protests, they shouldn't be saying these things. But, you know, you have to look at how terrible Israel's treating the Palestinians. Like, okay, so you just did what, you know, you say so evil in the Charlottesville lie. It's unfathomable that the left at this point is just pro-terrorist.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. I mean, they are out there chanting pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah. They say, kill all the Jews. You know, what Hamas did on October 7th was great. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they're saying it just straight up. It's not veiled references.
The hostages. I heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They say, quote, we are Hamas.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of We Are the World.
Yeah, right. Right. And it's usually like, you know, a white college woman.
Yeah.
It's just like, you do know that they would stone you to death.
Well, take a listen to what Joe Biden said, like we were talking about the other day. Of course, after speaking at an Earth Day event, and while his new handler, his new visiting angel, AOC was holding onto his hand.
Yeah.
Because the guy was holding on for dear life.
Visiting angel?
Take a listen.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
And I think people are waking up to this, and particularly you're seeing a lot of donors to these organizations, these colleges, universities, stepping in and saying, yeah, goodbye to my money. It's not coming to you ever again.
Yep.
Especially Patriots owner Robert Kraft, obviously a very famous Jew himself.
He is. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. And, you know, these college universities, their presidents are all super leftist terrorist lovers. Look at, you know, at these protests, the faculty are coming out and creating human chains around the terrorist protesters.
Yeah.
So, like Nazi professor, like Nazi student, where do you think these kids are getting these ideas indoctrinated?
Yeah.
And this goes back for years and years and years. We've been talking about the education system in this country indoctrinating the youth to be leftists, and it's really coming to fruition now.
Columbia is now, I think, remote only.
Well, they canceled in-person classes for the rest of the semester.
The rest of the semester. Yep. So, I mean, it's like... no reason, you know, there's no one, you know, a lot of people ask for refunds because of that. And for good reason.
Well,
among other things.
Let us not also forget, these are the scumbag terrorist students that Joe Biden wants us to pay the student loans for.
Yeah, I know.
For them to sit around and protest favorably in honor of essentially terrorist organizations, groups, and state-sponsored terror around the world in Iran. Yeah.
Joe needs anti-Semites to win 2024.
Well, and that's what it comes down to.
He has to cater to the Nazis to win
a election. He knows that he can't win in places like Michigan and certain others without the Muslims. That's a key part of his coalition. What's really interesting, though, to me is you've seen some polls come out about, you know, surveying Jewish voters of who they're going to vote for. It's swinging heavily towards Trump.
Yeah.
It's still way too many of a percentage voting for Biden, given what's occurred in the last essentially 6 months. But it is moving significantly. And I think that's going to play a role. Obviously, Muslim sentiment towards Joe Biden's going to play a role. The youth being disaffected with Joe Biden. Those are really like three key centers here of what this election's going to be. And I think that's why the White House is just trying to play both sides, and they're really struggling to come up with a cohesive plan of how to take this on. I think their plan at this point is to say, thank God it's the end of the semester, and just deal with this for 2 weeks, and then it's going to peter out.
Yeah, I know.
So, but I think...
it's not going to peter out. Those kids will stay there throughout the summer if they could.
Possibly, but what I think it'll transform into more so is constant significant protests across the country, not just necessarily on this issue, but more so on a violent leftist type of binge, similar to how the BLM riots occurred in 2020. Because if you remember the BLM riots, it came out of the fact that George Floyd overdosed on fentanyl.
Yeah.
But it turned into a more leftist woke movement. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then the pallets of bricks started showing up all over the place from George Soros. And then that's what, you know, we all know what happened after that. I think that that's what it's going to be. I think that someone that I follow on Twitter, who is usually very smart about these things, said that they are laying the groundwork for a potential violent leftist revolution against not just Republicans or Trump if he should win, but against essentially the government and establishment of the United States, that's going to last throughout the summer and into the fall through the election, especially surrounding what's going to happen in Chicago with the DNC. You know, it's essentially 1968.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
So that's going to be very interesting, especially what happens.
And they have an anti-cop mayor.
Oh, yeah?
Unlike, you know, it ain't, you know, Mayor Daley, listen, 68 Chicago that DNC, listen, it was out of hand, but the police were out there busting up hippies.
Yeah.
Mayor Daley. You're not going to get that with this guy.
No, it's for sure.
It's going to be mayhem. There's going to be people going to be, you know, storming the floor.
Well, that'll be interesting to see if they attempt to break entry into the arena. Oh,
they definitely will.
See, I think that the Secret Service is not going to allow that. Well, then they can't allow that to happen.
Oh, they can't.
Just for the safety of Joe Biden.
But I think they're going to try, and I think somebody's going to get shot.
Probably. Yeah, I'd put money on that.
I think someone's going to get shot. Tear gas at the minimum.
There'll be a lot of tear gas.
A lot of rubber bullets. I think, do they have police dogs?
I don't know.
Canine units really are kind of being phased out. It's kind of sad.
Well, canines now are more used just for drugs and bombs. Drugs not and for bombs. Crowd control.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the...
I know. Well, bring it back. We got to bring it back.
Yeah.
And the high-pressured hoses, too.
Yeah. So, yeah,
that's... I'm actually not really, like... I know I'm not really half kit. Like, I'm serious about that. I think it's going to be bad.
Oh, I agree. I think it's going to be
really, really bad.
Well, and what I, you know, I've been talking about the election and its aftermath for a while here. Yeah. This, I think, is a more accelerated timeline than I was expecting. And it's really going to lead to one of the most unique, you know, we think obviously 2020 was unique in that you had COVID going on. You had major civil unrest. You know, I don't think we're going to obviously have COVID this time unless they try a new virus, which is certainly possible.
Well, they're still doing that gain-of-function research on this stuff. Yeah, they
didn't learn the lesson on that one.
I mean...
But the civil unrest part's certainly going to be a factor. And if Trump does win...
Yeah, it'll be because of that, I think.
It's going to play a role.
I mean, Nixon won in 68 on the law and order thing, and it's not good when the Democratic Party's convention is, like, besieged by... terrorists. I mean, like, it was bad enough when it was, like, you know, far-left hippies.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, love, not war. Now it's, like, kill all the Jews, kill cops, bomb everything.
Yeah.
And you have this guy who's, I mean, at least, who ran against Nixon? Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey wasn't, like, brain dead, you know? Like, you know, he have all this in the backdrop, and now, like, you know, Biden's, like, all senile. It's just, like, what are we doing here? I think it could be bad. That's gonna look horrible.
But I'll tell you, if Trump wins... the violence from the left
is going to be unreal. Yeah. Although it is going to be like interesting watching the whole like kill all the Jews to Trump turn on a dime thing.
It's yeah.
Like, okay, well, wait, what happened to the whole Israel thing? Oh, no, different now.
Well, what would be really interesting is if Trump does win, a lot of it I think will be because of leftist non-support of Biden. And Biden might just totally at that point turn on them and just stick the National Guard on those and say, "Fuck them, they fucked me over, and now it's their turn." Needless to say, it's going to be one of the most interesting elections of the lifetime.
Could come down like to recounts.
We say that every time now.
Yeah.
But it really is. Yeah. If you look at it, it's like every time something crazier and crazier is happening.
It's nuts.
All right.
I could see this going down to like multiple Florida situations in 2000.
It's like
Georgia recount, Florida. No longer Florida recount. Uh-huh. That's not the case. But
looks like we're definitely not Florida.
Definitely not Florida, but maybe Arizona.
Looks like we're gonna have to organize some Brooks Brothers riots.
Yes,
like Roger Stone.
Yes.
Here's the other thing that's occurring in the background, and it's really not getting the attention that I think it should be. Last night, Christopher Wray came out with remarks or a statement and said the following. Essentially, he said that we are very concerned at the FBI over the extreme increasing threat of terror attacks on the homeland, particularly in relation to Moscow-style ISIS attacks.
Yeah.
With music, me specifically mentioned the music hall attack. Well, it'd be nice if somebody had tried to close the border. You know, we've only been talking about this for a long time. But for him to say something as stark as that, and in the past they've given warnings.
Yeah.
But a very specific warning about that makes me think that, you know, they think that something's very significant in the cooks right now. It's getting cooked up. And I think that that's going to really play a role in the election. He said coordinated attacks.
Yeah.
Right? Multiple.
Yeah.
That's
like a Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda thing.
they don't throw that just out there willy-nilly, those kinds of warnings.
Yeah. This ain't this, you know, this isn't FARC who don't really exist anymore, but like they ain't doing this. This is
so they're definitely concerned about some serious happening. And I would not be surprised if that occurs this fall in the lead up to the election. There may be something over the summer, but I think that they're going to save for maximum chaos. And it's gonna, I think it's going to play a huge role. You know, they might do that to try to scare people away from voting. It's definitely a bad situation. We don't know who's coming to this country.
No, we don't.
That's
yeah, I know. And there's 7.5 million that they let in.
Well, at least.
That we know of. At least. That we know of. So it's really 14 and probably 15 million.
But obviously the illegals coming in is not good. But that's the real scary part of losing the operational control of the border, is you don't know who made it in. And I mean, that's literally a plot of, Sicario 2.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the prayer rooms.
Where the Muslims come across the border.
And they blow up a Target.
And they blow up a grocery store. Yeah. It was a grocery store.
It was some sort of.
And, you know, that's a scary thing, is literally what it takes, and we don't even know.
Yeah.
We just don't even know it's here. And that's what I think this statement stems from, is they feel something big is going to occur. They don't know where, they don't know who, and they're just doing a cover your ass so that way when it eventually does happen, they could say, look,
we warned. Great.
Yep.
Great.
Some other illegal immigration stuff that we've got going on here. Shout out to the rancher down in Arizona, or maybe it was New Mexico. Anyway, these illegals armed came onto his ranch. He may or may not have shot them, but a mistrial was called in the manslaughter trial.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Listen, you know how I feel about that. I don't need to reiterate my position.
Yeah.
Protected his life.
Yeah. And property.
You wrote this story, I think. Illegal aliens are harassing Home Depot.
No, that was Ms. Leesman.
Oh, Madeline.
Yeah.
And so a Home Depot store up in New York, and we know New York's been totally overrun with illegals.
Yeah.
But Home Depot store up in New York, also Home Depot, ironic, you know.
Yeah. The Home Depot. Yeah. Saw a lot of
illegals outside of Home Depot.
I know, right?
Where we heard that before. But these illegals are now robbing shoppers as they came out of the store, beating people up. Well, now they've hired 2 armed security guards just to keep the shoppers safe. Yeah. Going in and out of this Home Depot. I mean, this is the...
It's out of control, man.
It's the scum that they allowed in.
Yeah.
We've been saying it. And this is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, well, you know, 10 million illegals, blah, blah, blah. Well, these illegals are going to be popping out kids.
Yeah.
And when they do that, guess what?
Countries.
Those kids are American citizens now. Because of some bad anchor baby laws. Remember we wanted to change the anchor baby laws? Yep. If your parents are illegals, you should not get citizenship.
I agree.
That's just common sense. It's what any common sense country would do, but we've seemed to have totally lost that at this point. You know, just look at this, okay? North Carolina. A North Carolina high school student was suspended for 3 days for using the term illegal alien.
So he used a term that was accurate and appropriate.
Yes. I have some experience with that as well. When I was in college, I said illegals shouldn't get in-state tuition, and I was subsequently kicked out of student government for that.
You were impeached.
Yeah, well, no. I was not impeached. In fact, I was denied my
constitutional rights.
My constitutional right. The George Mason student government constitution says that I should have had an impeachment trial.
Yes, you should have.
They refused to do so because...
You would have won.
I would have won.
You would have won.
Because over half of the student senate at the time were candidates that I got elected or were in my fraternity.
Yeah.
And they knew that I'd win, so they just didn't have a trial.
Yeah. You just should have just stayed.
Well, I mean, it was irrelevant.
But you just should have been...
What I should have done...
A self-coup and just been like, I'm dissolving.
You know, in hindsight, council. This was 2 months before graduation. I just wanted to graduate and get the f*** out of there.
I hear you.
But I should have sued George Mason.
You should have. Maybe you could do it. still.
No.
Just retroactively sue.
Yeah. but, you know, looking at the way these colleges are these days.
Oh, my God.
I never would survive this.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd get nicest.
Yeah.
They would kidnap me and behead me. That's literally what would happen. I was just talking to one of my college buddies earlier.
I remember that walking around your school, because there's a free speech zone. We used to shoot a lot of Man on the Street videos for when I was at MRC TV.
Yeah.
There's a terrorist bench.
Oh, yeah.
Mason has a Palestinian group, and there's an anti-Israel bench on the front by the Chick-fil-A.
It was called Students Against Israeli Apartheid.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. And that was that was back in 2015.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine.
Oh, my God.
You know, 9 years, 10 years later, what it's like now. Let's see what else we got here. This one is a very wild story. So, last week, Maryland police officers arrested 18-year-old Andrea Yee, who was accused of planning to shoot up a high school. Despite the arrest making headlines here in Montgomery County, Maryland, right outside of D.C., several news media outlets, and I use news media very loosely, air quote on that one, omitted the fact that she is, air quote, transgender. The preferred name of this psychopathic transgender killer...
Joe Biden. No.
Yeah. What was the name
of... It was Alex.
No. What was the nickname I gave to the tranny killer last year?
Oh.
Trans killer, right?
Trans
PTK,
killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, PTK.
This is another PTK. In fact, this trans would-be killer was inspired by PTK, the Covenant school shooter. And now, these news outlets, CNN, NBC News, Associated Press, USA Today, covered the story, but all failed to mention that this Andrea Yee is transgender, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Alex, don't dead name her.
And yeah. And guess what? The manifesto, which you can read at townhall.com, is literally a psycho trans killer manifesto.
Yeah,
say, oh, you know, blah blah blah, psycho trans, and you know, and you know, I just bullied and blah blah blah, and I hope that they won't misgender me when I do this and blah blah blah.
I'm surprised I got leaked, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because the Covenant's the first psycho trans killer's manifesto has been under lock and key.
Oh, of course,
and it's not going to be released.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just, we have such a serious mental health crisis going on in this country. And, Democrat Maryland elected official at the press conference last week, Mark Elric, was asked, you know, is this would-be shooter transgender? And he just melted down and lost it. It was like, well, why does it matter? It doesn't matter. And, the reporter's like, I mean, yeah, for the facts of the story, it does matter.
It does matter.
And so it just shows how deep the rot is on this subject. And it, once again, goes back to the mental health issues of these crazies and the fact that we not only no longer lock these people up, we encourage this stuff. And these kids are constantly indoctrinated that in order to be someone be special...
Yeah, they gotta chop their off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out here encouraging the chopping of the off.
Yeah.
We've been saying it for years now, but, like, it's not an exaggeration.
They're doing it.
In this case, it was a she pretending to be a he.
Yeah, yeah.
Get
the attachment.
I don't think that's usually the direction it is. I think that's less common, right?
What?
Oh, she to he? It's usually he to she.
Mean, yeah. Well, that,
which
we
is
know,
interesting.
I mean, who... It could be just as prevalent.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that's different. The, you know, cut the off is the one way. The other way is get the attachments.
Yeah, yeah, when you mutilate your arm.
Yeah.
That seems
reasonable. Chop off the breasts and then get, like, the attachments.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're such a serious country. In this country, you can't buy alcohol or buy cigarettes or gamble if you're under 21 or vote if you're under 18. But if you want to chop your d*** off or you want an abortion... No parental consent required. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you know what? They think the taxpayers should pay for it, too.
That's true.
It is just some sick out here.
That used to be an outlier position when I was in high school. taxpayer friendly abortion. Like when even like pro choice people would be like, oh, that's a bridge too far. Now it's hell yeah, down with the patriarchy, fund my baby killing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know,
one generation, dude. That's how crazy this lurch to the left has been.
Well, yeah. Watching TV last night, we were getting bombarded with Senate ads for Maryland Senate.
Yeah.
David Trone. The entire ad, I think it was a minute.
Yeah.
The entire ad was about how the Democrats just want the air quote freedom.
Yeah.
To kill babies.
Which is
killing babies. Yeah. No, it's all it's about.
Which is weird because I think Larry Hogan is pro-choice too, isn't he?
Probably. I mean, he sucks too. I'd rather have him than a Democrat.
Well, he is leading substantially in the polls.
Yeah. Now let's be clear.
I don't even know who this David Trone is.
When Hogan was governor, he essentially governed as a light blue Republican.
Yeah. Oh right? Yeah, he had to. I mean, he had to.
Which whatever.
Yeah.
But he had very high approval ratings.
Yeah.
You know, for a so-called Republican, he sucks.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it comes to
getting
another seat for the majority, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And if he votes our way even 60% of the time, I'll take it.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, he would be a Mitt Romney of the East, is what he would be.
I mean, he is. Because he hates Trump.
You know.
Hates Trump.
In a blue state like Maryland, if you can take a Senate seat from there.
Huge.
It automatically changes the equation so significantly. And so, while I'm not going to say I love Larry Hogan, I'm rooting for him to win the seat. Yeah.
It's been what, like almost 40 years since the Republican
at
has,
least
right since like Spiro Agnew
at least day, oh yeah
the Spiro Agnew days
yeah
oh for and sure. he was a governor
yeah
different
yeah.
But you know what I'm trying to say, like, it's just
we'll see what happens there. Let's do a little 2024 talk here. The race continues to essentially be a close one. You know,
nothing shocking. We knew this was going to happen.
Right. The polls are going through their ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But I do find it very interesting how we get these polls, sometimes released on the same day, sometimes taken from the field at the same time with the same number of likely voters. Now, it all matters where you're plucking those likely voters from.
But I know where you're going with this. It's like numbers vomit in terms in terms of the differences.
Well, you know, we get a... you know, we get a number from Morning Consult, which traditionally is very Democrat, right?
Mm.
6,000 registered voters. Now, it's not a likely voter model, so...
That's a good sample size.
Right. At this time, I tend to go more with the large registered voter models than the actual likely voters, because you can't model who's going to likely vote at this point. But you get Trump plus one,
ooh, right?
Rasmussen, of course, is Trump plus eight. No shock there.
Yeah.
But plus eight's pretty significant. Emerson, Trump plus one. Then you get, you know, a Reuters poll that's like Biden plus five or plus four. You know, you get an NBC poll that says Trump plus two. And then you get Marist, Biden plus three. I mean, you get Trump plus five, Biden plus five. It's like there's no rhyme or reason to this. What seems to be most interesting in the trend here is that Biden has been consistently between 45% to 44%, right?
Yeah.
And now when Trump had his largest lead, he was up around the 47.5 range. Trump in the average has sunk down to 44.5. Now, I tend to think that some of this has to do with the factoring in of RFK to some of these polls.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't think that he's going to play that large of a role when it actually comes to Election Day. I think that a lot of people may say right now, oh, yeah, RFK is a reasonable option. Well, one, he's not for anyone on the right. I mean, dig into his f-ing history. He's a climate change freak, wants to take your guns away. The guy's a nut job on those issues, right?
Now, in terms of government transparency, though, I think that that initiative he has about voters being able to access every aspect of a spending bill,
that's
going to resonate, I think.
Sure, but that'll never happen.
Oh, no.
Because first off,
if it peels off some votes from Biden, Michigan, I'm...
Well, I actually am worried about the risk of him peeling off votes more from us, actually.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I don't think it's actually going to play that big.
Yeah.
But just on that one thing, you could say it and it sounds great.
Yeah.
He won't have the power to do that regardless.
No, he won't.
Congress makes the spending rules.
Yeah, true.
They determine what happens with those.
But it's the perception, and, man. It's all about perception.
And Congress will continue to pass 1,200-page bills in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And not tell anybody.
Not tell anybody.
Well, you got to pass a bill to find out what's in it. That's how they do it. Yeah. They've been doing it since Obamacare.
Yep.
That was really the first time that that had ever been done. And it's the normal now.
It is.
And look what just happened with the
Ukraine.
Mike Johnson that we had.
Secret missiles to Ukraine.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Because that's what Biden was doing while they were claiming simultaneously that aid was cut off.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we were still
sending it. I know.
Still sending it.
Yeah, but on government spending, that stuff, and FISA, Mike Johnson has kind of given away the farm.
You think? Not even Kevin McCarthy would have made those deals.
Yeah, that's true.
It is sickening.
Hey, listen, we kind of said this.
Just in order to get that bill to the floor of the House.
Yeah.
Because remember, the promise was no bill that has less than half support of the Republican caucus will even come to the House floor. Actually, it was
no majority, bill, right?
No bill that needs Democrat support
to pass.
To get to the floor.
Yeah.
Because the real thing is the rules package, right?
Yeah.
If you knock down the rules package, the bill can't come to the floor.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so to pass the rules package, he relied on Democrats alone, basically. Then when it comes to actually passing the bill, it was mostly Democrats.
Yeah.
I think 54% of Republicans voted against it. I mean, what the f***?
Yeah.
What the f***, yeah. Mike Johnson? And that comes on the heels of the FISA caving, of course.
What? Oh, God.
That's even worse.
That's even worse.
I mean, this guy is a f***ing joke. And like I said,
but he's getting his praise in the media for being the adult in the room
from the leftists.
Yeah,
that's how you know.
Yeah, from all and the deep state and the former spooks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the adults in the room, Mike Johnson, because he brushed aside the MAGA wing.
Yeah, which is it's great that Mike Johnson did exactly what we the Democrats want.
So we can illegally spy on you for the next 2 years.
Yep.
Until we have to renew it again.
And listen. Kevin McCarthy would not have made that bad of a deal. Yeah. I am 100% certain of that. Kevin McCarthy gets a bad rap. I didn't like him. No one liked him. But he would not have done what Mike Johnson did.
He was the best worst option that we had.
Yeah.
And then we got rid of him. And now, you know, is Mike Johnson going to be all that much better? Is this a massive upgrade?
Now he's worse.
Turned
out to be worse.
Now there's nobody else.
Well, not
which
only
is,
that.
Which is the, I mean, I know he, I mean, he did ironically make the case for that motion to vacate. He did make the case for for us to give him the boot.
Yep.
But there's no one else that we can replace him with.
Well, here's the thing. Not only that there's no one to replace him, the only reason he's not being kicked out right now is, one, because Democrats say they'll help to keep him in, which is hilarious in itself.
Yeah.
Then, if you look further into the strategy of this, even MTG realizes that kicking the speaker out 5 months before the election,
dumb idea,
is not a good look.
Not good idea.
And especially given that we only have a one-seat majority. Well, I guess it's two now because the Democrat from New Jersey that died. We only have... Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have a, you know, couple-seat majority.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anything successful.
No, you're not.
And even further, you risk
Hakeem Jeffries getting that gavel. Yep. I think in the beginning of this circus, that was my biggest concern.
And if that were to happen,
because I can definitely see 5 to 8 Republicans just being like, "I'm done with this."
If that happens, they will shove through everything before the election. Yeah. Everything.
Gun grabs, taxpayer funded abortion, card check.
Yep.
I know that's like way out of left field, but I'm just saying, like, you said everything. Yeah. That's everything.
So once again, we're at this same exact position of, the speaker stinks, but is what's to come if we remove him way worse?
Yeah.
And the answer is undoubtedly yes at this point.
Yeah.
Which stinks. It sucks.
It does, but you know what? There's time to redirect. I would hope that MTG and company would redirect the outrage, not that Mike Johnson doesn't deserve it, but towards the unconstitutional derailing of the impeachment proceeding against Mayorkas. Which is
unfortunately,
which ties into the 2024 narrative elections about legal immigration, and we can do something with that instead of hurling hand grenades inside the tent all the
time. I just think that is all a little inside baseball to actually resonate with the American public. It's like, yeah, we realize how ridiculous it is.
They could frame it in like he got away with murder or something like that.
Well, sure, he has. Yeah. He got away with human trafficking and murder.
Child rape and all that stuff. Like, you can make a nice little ad and, you know, stump.
But also the fact that Mike Johnson is threatening to fine Thomas Massie $500 a day if he doesn't capitulate and remove the video from his Twitter of the House, particularly Democrats, waving the Ukrainian flags on the floor of our Congress after we send them the $60 billion or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And the reason he wants that taken down is because he let that happen.
Yeah.
That was him. And there's no one else to blame for it besides him. It's really the fact that that happened over the weekend.
I know. Yeah.
I was furious that happened. It's just so disgusting to see.
Yeah.
And the Democrats were just so gleeful about it. And they were gleeful because Mike Johnson bent over and took it from the Democrats in a way that we haven't seen from a Republican speaker in a long time.
Do you think that was the deal?
Maybe.
You know, like, we will, you know, in return for the Ukraine funding, we will vote to keep you as speaker.
Maybe.
So that your party can't boot you.
Maybe. It could have been very well. Sure.
Right?
Yeah. But either way, here's the thing. Mike Johnson now knows that he will not be the speaker after the election.
Yeah, he's done.
Regardless of what happens, if the Democrats win the House, obviously he won't be in charge. But if the Republicans win the House, he will not be in charge. This is now a caretaker speakership.
Yeah.
Lame duck. And now he's just going to do whatever the fuck he wants. He's now, like you said, if it was the deal, he's not afraid of conservatives anymore.
Yeah. We'll see. Time will tell. The next 2 months, let's see what happens.
Luckily, I don't think there's a lot of shit coming up anymore. We don't have any budget deadlines.
That's true.
There's no debt ceilings.
No.
When is the budget extended through? It's through the election, I think, right?
I think so. And also, this is just the general overall period where nothing major is brought up because people are afraid of re-election.
Yeah.
So,
that's where we're at with that.
But then we're still stuck with who the f*** is going to be who's going to replace him should we win.
I think it all depends. If we get a good win and we get an over 10-seat majority, which I think is possible if we win the presidential, I think there will be several actual conservatives that will consider running, and they'll actually have a shot this time of getting the requisite votes. Because that was always the problem here, is that that's why Kevin McCarthy got the speakership to begin with. It's because the majority was pretty thin. It was like, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah.
There just wasn't the votes for an actual conservative to get the speakership.
Yeah.
Like a Jim Jordan or someone better, right?
Yeah.
That's why it defaulted to him to begin with and set us down this path.
Didn't Jim Jordan briefly toss his hat in the ring?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got like 100-something votes.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
It petered out.
Yeah. So I think there will be definitely a good chance for a real conservative to come along and take the gavel if we get a big enough majority. Yeah. Someone like a Jim Jordan or a Byron Donalds, you know, I think you can find a really good candidate in there to actually muster the votes together. Also, keep in mind, we have a situation where if we win the majority significantly, whoever wants to run can then start whipping votes right then and there.
Yeah.
Right, and get what they need. I don't think that there was enough of a movement against McCarthy because he was viewed as the heir apparent, right? Him or Steve Scalise or, you know, so I think that that's what's going to happen with that. But all right, we are going to wrap up here today with, of course, the gaffe of the day. And this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Happened just this afternoon. Biden versus the teleprompter yet again. Take a listen.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years, pause.
Four more years. Nothing like reading some teleprompter cues.
Yeah.
4 more years, pause. It's just like, this guy is bad, man. It's, I think that the more that people see that.
Well, what about over the weekend when he was talking about Trump?
Yeah.
When is he going to get You Can't Trust Us?
Oh, no. When is he going to get And We Keep Proving You Can't Trust Us?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And I really think that those consistent issues are going to keep adding up. And you're seeing people that don't even really like Trump saying, hey, I don't like Trump, but we cannot put this brain dead retard in office for another 4 years. We cannot do it. And especially now that we didn't even get to this, that he's talking about the repeal and expiration of the Trump tax cuts and raising the capital gains tax to near 50%.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, in the beginning of his presidency, he was content and his people were content on leaving him alone, because after they looked at it, they found out that like 78% supports working families. But now that he needs something to give him a little bit of an edge, he's going to be like, Trump, you know, orange man bad, I got to repeal his tax cuts. Yeah.
Well, what we have to do, and you know, this is always the case when we pass tax cuts, right? They're like, oh, they're just giving tax cuts to the rich. Well, it was something like close to 80% was actually for the middle class in this country and gave people a boost.
Yeah.
And I think we have to do a good job as Republicans of selling that, and Trump especially has to do a good job selling that.
When we made the Bush tax cuts permanent, the party missed a big, like, what the f*** moment to kind of redirect it at the Democrats. Because, remember, since 2003, Democrats have always f***ed about those f***ing tax cuts.
Yeah.
And then for the fiscal cliff negotiations, we made them permanent.
Yeah.
And Democrats support.
Well, I think that the big thing is you just have to drive the messaging. Yeah. Joe Biden wants to raise your taxes.
Yeah.
And when he says that he won't raise taxes a dime on people making under $400,000 a year, it's a total f***ing lie.
And he wants you to pay for pro-terrorist students' education.
Well, yeah, that too.
I think both could be. I think the latter could work better, actually.
Well, I just love, so this past weekend they had the NBC poll that came out.
Yeah.
And they were going through it on MSNBC. The only issue that Joe Biden has an edge on is abortion.
Yeah.
Every single other issue is Trump plus 8, Trump plus 10, Trump plus 20. On the economy and inflation and taxes, Trump is plus 20 points.
And what's the only voter group where he has a double-digit lead in?
Well, yeah, unmarried women.
Unmarried women.
Yeah,
of course. That's the only one. So
19th Amendment.
Can you imagine if that was like just 2%?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Biden loses, but imagine if it wasn't high 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trump would be ahead by like 8.
It's big. It's certainly big. All right.
He has to keep those happy.
Well, they want their abortions.
Yeah,
they want to kill the babies.
Happy.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up for today's show. Of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, want us to cover a story, email us. We love hearing from you. Triggered@townhall.com. And if you enjoy Triggered, want to get it uncensored and support what we're doing here on the show and all of our reporting at all of our Town Hall media sites, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. That's TRIGGERED for 50% off. I highly encourage you to become a gold member. You get gold access across the board. We'll get you Triggered uncensored, and you'll be directly funding not only what we're doing here on Triggered, but all of our reporting exposing the left across the board. You'll get a ton of VIP members-only content like Triggered Uncensored, but you'll get podcasts from Kurt's columns, videos, Matt's column, Katie's column, Spencer's. I mean, you get a ton of and I promise you will love it. Money-back guarantee. You're the only folks that get that. No one has ever asked for a refund, and we have thousands of VIP members brought on from here on Triggered. So get into this club of patriots. We could really use your support. Of course, big tech, Biden administration, all of them are attacking us, trying to put us out of business because they don't like what we're doing. And so we could definitely use your support. Townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members. It means the world to us. And we love all of our listeners. We do it for you guys here. We will be back here next Wednesday on May 1st for another episode of Triggered. Unless, of course, I go full hangover movie this weekend in Vegas. Going out there for a big birthday weekend, so we'll see if I make it back alive. unless I hit the super progressive $10 million jackpot, then I will not be making it back at all. All right, so, of course, Triggered at townhall.com, and we will be back here next Wednesday for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.